Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast.
Bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, folks. This is your NFL primer to get ready for the upcoming season. And I know there's always change in the NFL, but one thing is for sure, it always helps taking a look at the actual strength of schedule and forecasting of these teams. So without much further ado, I'm going to break down the five easiest schedules for the upcoming season and the teams that have the toughest schedules coming in. So, without much further ado, the team with the easiest schedule of all is the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins walks into probably one of the easiest situations of his entire career. You got a loaded Falcons team, a weak division in general, a Falcons team that should have made the playoffs if not for their own coach and the fact that they couldn't identify that they needed a quarterback earlier in the season before making changes to Desmond Ridder. But, you know, the Falcons are just too easy of a situation to kind of coincide with. So when you kind of look through the numbers, it's more along the lines of the fact that the NFC South is weak in general. But some of the other teams that the Falcons end up playing, obviously they start off the season with a home game against Pittsburgh. But when you look at some of the other squads that they play, they have the Broncos and the Raiders as their out-of-conference matchups in terms of the teams they play. And they play the Giants and the Commanders. It's one of the softest schedules you could possibly ever get. And, you know, they're playing all these bottom-of-the-barrel teams. They don't have a tough schedule at all. So that's the reason why they're one of the most favored teams to actually make the playoffs. Just because if you can't, again, if you can't get it done with that with the schedule they've got, and I mean, it's pretty light in terms of the out-of-conference games, out-of-division games that they've got, it's pretty much the easiest thing that they're going to get. The second easiest schedule out of NFL teams this year, we've got Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. So the Chargers, they lost pretty much half the roster to salary cap cuts, but they also play the NFC South in terms of out-of-conference games. So, you know, they get the benefit of the doubt. They get games against the AFC East. So they play New England. They play the Raiders, obviously, twice a year. You know, those are the divisional games. But realistically, no one's really expecting them to beat Kansas City. But all they have to do is keep pace against the likes of the Broncos and the Raiders, and they should be fine in terms of being close enough to make the playoffs, just because when you look at some of the other teams that they're facing off against, you know, New Orleans, Arizona, all winnable games for the Falcons. So to me, that's where you got to look at it and just acknowledge the fact that it makes a difference. Third easiest schedule, Chicago Bears. And again, similar situation where the Bears made a number of moves in the offseason to kind of help Caleb Williams as much as humanly possible ahead of the season in terms of squad depth. But when you look at the schedule for the Bears, again, matchups against the NFC South, the matchup against the AFC South as well. So they also get the benefits there where they play Tennessee and Jacksonville. Now, do I think the Bears make the playoffs? Not necessarily, but I think they're in the mix to be one of those teams that are hunting for a wild card spot, and that's really what you're looking for, because at the end of the day, out of the 15 teams last year that were predicted to have the easiest schedules, 11 finished with winning records. So it's just one of the aspects where if you're in that top half, you've got to have a pretty decent shot. If you're in the bottom half, you have a tougher hill to climb. It's not impossible, but it's like those aspects where you have fewer rest days or just tougher opponents in general, they add up over time. So I look at the Bears in another spot. The Jets, another team that realistically should not be in that much of a struggle, if we're really being honest with ourselves here. But I would say that the Jets, you know, outside of this San Francisco game to start off the season, they play the NFC North and they play the AFC South. It's like, again, not the toughest of schedules. And then rounding it out, you have the Saints and the Bengals. So to me, you have easier schedules on the flip side there. Now, in terms of the teams with the most difficult schedules to navigate, the team with the worst schedule of all, and the NFL must be determined to end this streak once and for all. Mike Tomlin's streak of consecutive seasons not finishing below 500, that might be coming to an end this year. The Steelers' defense and their offense are going to be up against it because of the teams that they have to match up against. And let's walk everyone through the Steelers schedule this year, because realistically, this is one of the most absurd schedules I've seen in quite some time, where they have a bunch of back-to-backs, not to mention the fact that the games that they do play out of conference are really tough. So they got at Atlanta, at Denver. Denver is supposed to be one of the easier ones, but you got to play in Mile High. Then they got to play the Chargers. Then they travel to Indy to play the Colts. Then they have a home game against Dallas, away at the Raiders. Like, look at the travel miles they're logging in. Then two home games. Two home games against the Jets and the Giants. So those are where they try to bank their wins and try to stabilize things. Then they get the bye week. Then at Washington, home against Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, then play Cleveland again, then at Philly, at Baltimore, then Kansas City. Are you kidding me? Like, look at that closing stretch. And then their final game is against Cincinnati to close out this year. Let me read this back from week 12 on for the Steelers, because you know that game against Baltimore is going to be brutal. I'm going to say this again. After week 11, here's the Steelers schedule after a home game against Baltimore. At Cleveland, at Cincinnati, back at home to play Cleveland again, then at Philly, at Baltimore, home against Kansas City, and hosting the Bengals to close out the year. It's the worst stretch in football. Like, I don't even know how they thought that was a balanced schedule, but the Steelers far and away have the worst schedule in football. It's not even close. It's not even close. So to bring up the other teams that are behind the Steelers in terms of terrible schedules, the Patriots, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Vikings. The AFC North is an absolute beast, but no one's got a worse stretch than the Steelers. So for all intents and purposes, you can feel pretty negative about Steelers, and I wouldn't blame you because of the fact that Mike Tomlin is going to have yet another thankless job to do for the Steelers, because I don't necessarily see a ton going on there that's going to be beneficial to them long term in terms of managing managing the situation. Because the long and short of it is the fact that, you know, I think the Steelers like just don't have enough talent on offense to make it work. Like that's the issue. Is like if the Steelers were somewhat more balanced, I can make a case for them. But the truth of the matter is that the Steelers have relied so much on their defense the last couple of years that, yes, Patrick, get past the fact that, you know, Kenny Pickett was a mediocre quarterback at best. Russell Wilson is an upgrade. Justin Fields is an upgrade. But it still doesn't change the fact that in terms of actual weapons, it's George Pickens and not much else from an offensive standpoint. The Steelers are going to have their work cut out for them to make it more viable as to how they're going to manage the team. Now, again, could the Steelers get there in terms of, because the win total, I think the Steelers are probably going to get to 9 wins, but it's going to be tough. And 9-8, we know Steelers fans aren't going to celebrate that. Like, the Steelers expect to be in playoffs every year. It's just the fact that most of the spending on the Steelers goes into 65% on the defense. You got a bunch of throw-ins for the offense. They just don't have enough there in terms of value plays to get over the hill. So to me, I think the strength of schedule makes a big difference, but I think that the one team you got to monitor is the Steelers. If the Steelers somehow have a strong start to the year, people are going to get high on the Steelers saying how good they are. And I think you can backload in those losses in the second half and make it an interesting underbet midway through the year if the Steelers start off hot. If the Steelers start off cold, they're more than likely going to continue to be cold and one of the worst teams in the league if the team starts doubting themselves. So the Steelers are a very interesting situation to watch as we head into the NFL season. So without much further ado, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to get into the divisional matchups and champions that I think are going to come out of each region, and we'll go from there. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Folks, our personal data is being distributed constantly, every day, without us ever doing business with a company. Data brokers are collecting people's personal information to sell it to any number of companies. They are gathering data from public records, databases, and your online activities and use it without you even knowing it. These guys have your name, address, email. And if you ever wonder how spammers keep getting your phone number, the answer is data brokers. So what can you do to protect yourself from this nightmare? Incogni steps in to repeatedly scrub your name off of any database tied to these guys, as long as you are a customer. They go through the hassle of engaging with these companies, so you do not have to keep going through an endless chain of unsubscribe requests that go nowhere. Go to Incogni.com and use discount code FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual membership. That's Incogni.com/FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual plan. Let Incogni help ensure your data privacy today.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
We are back, and let's start breaking down the division. So, beginning with the champions, we're going to the Chiefs in the AFC West. I think this was pretty much a slam dunk again that it's going to be Kansas City coming out of the AFC West. Why do I say that? Because the Buffalo Bills inexplicably gave the Chiefs traded their draft spot to allow the Chiefs to draft Xavier Worthy, who had the fastest combine speed in NFL history. I'm going to say that again. Xavier Worthy had the fastest 40 time speed at the NFL combine in history, and the Bills traded the draft pick to the Chiefs so the Chiefs could move up and draft Worthy. It's still one of the most inexplicable decisions, because as much as I like Keon Coleman, and I think Keon Coleman is going to be really good, when you get rid of a Stephon Diggs, you need to add even more than what the Bills did. And instead, they traded one of those draft picks to the Chiefs so they could get Xavier Worthy. It was inexplicable. So, I can't stress enough how dumb the decision was. I don't think anyone agreed with the decision of the Bills, but here we are. So you almost have to hope Xavier Worthy is a bust if you're a Buffalo fan, because otherwise you're going to be driving yourself crazy. If Worthy ends up being a useful piece of that offense, you know how good Mahomes is. Kelce came back. We'll see how much he has left in the tank. But the Chiefs and the ability to stretch the field, if they have that as an option again, the Chiefs are going to win that division easily. The only question is who gets second, and I think it's a clear cut for the Chargers to be second in the division. And given how easy their schedule should be, I think the Chargers make it into the playoffs comfortably with 10 wins. And, you know, we see what the Chargers can do from there. But I don't really have much of a take on the AFC West as a whole, just because of the fact that the Chiefs improved so much that they were already winning this division more than likely, but it made it a non-factor. So you got a team like the Raiders trying to rebuild, and the Broncos are in rebuild mode as well. So again, I'm not seeing a whole lot of life in this division. So between how easy San Diego's schedule is and the fact that the Chiefs improved after winning the Super Bowl again, you know, to me, it's one of the more straightforward divisions in football. Moving on, to the AFC North. I am going to give this to the Cincinnati Bengals, even though the Bengals have a number of warning signs, the least of which being the fact that Joe Burrow has not been able to stay healthy. I'm going to bank that we don't get another major injury for Joe Burrow, but it's not out of the realm possibility, because now he's already shown to be knocked out of the season three times in his first 4 years. We're going to see. We're going to see what we get out of Joe Burrow, but, you know, I think it's just an area where you have to have concern if you're a Bengals fan. But with that being said, you know, Lamar Jackson is still in this division. I know the Ravens fans feel as though they would be slighted if they weren't picked to win the division after adding Derrick Henry. But I think as a whole, I think there's a little bit more benefit to the Bengals side of the equation, given that the Ravens have, because they won the division, they have to face the tougher end of the non-conference opponents than the Bengals do. So to me, I think the Bengals, the non-conference side of the fence, gives them the edge over the Ravens. And the fact that, again, from a Ravens perspective, they've kind of, I honestly think, unless Derrick Henry is able to unlock something else in Lamar Jackson's passing game, I think the Ravens are going to be very similar to what they were last year, just a bit more consistent, because they'll have a Derrick Henry bell cow there the entire way through and not have to worry about who's the starting running back at points, because you couldn't rely on J.K. Dobbins to stay healthy. And Gus Edwards was, I would say, an above average running back at best. Meanwhile, in the AFC North, we have the Browns, where, Deshaun Watson could be washed. He could very well be washed, and there's really not much else to say. Like, until Deshaun Watson does something different, I just don't think there's much else that could be said in terms of what the overall situation is going to be. So my whole thing is just the fact that unless you have some delineation that Deshaun Watson is ready to go out the gate, like, the Browns need to hit the ground running. Without Nick Chubb, they just have to be on point, and I just don't see it out of the Browns. That's why I think the Steelers finish ahead of the Browns, all things considered. As brutal as the Steelers' schedule is, I still think that the Steelers will find a way to at least be in that 9-10 win range. But I question the Browns. Without Nick Chubb there, I think there are some very real questions that have to be asked of the Browns themselves. Nick Chubb's still coming back from major knee surgery. You're not going to get him for at least 6 weeks, more than likely. So I have my doubts about the Browns. I'll leave it at that. Moving on to the AFC South. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. This division should be the Jags to win, but the Jags, being the Jags, will find ways of keeping the other teams in the division. So I think the Texans win this division again. I do think from a talent level perspective, the Texans upgraded, but with what the Jags already had, the Jags still should have been able to win the division last year, didn't get it done. But I look at it from the standpoint of, I think it comes down to the Texans winning the division just because of some of the gaffes that go on with the Jags. And realistically, both teams should make the playoffs, but I think the Texans edge out the division race in general, just from the standpoint of Stephon Diggs adds to the passing attack for the Texans. We'll see how he manages not being the guy anymore, because I don't think Stephon Diggs is the number one on the Texans. Not with what we've seen out of Tank Dell. I think Tank Dell ends up taking more of the explosive plays as opposed to Diggs, but we shall see how the Texans want to utilize Diggs if they try to placate him by feeding him more often early on. But it's a three-headed attack from a Texans perspective. On the Jags side, you have a little bit more dynamic running game. Not that Mixon is dust, but I do think Travis Etienne does offer you a little bit more than what you're going to get out of Joe Mixon in 2024 for the Texans. So I think the Jags have the edge there. And then, you know, really the division kind of comes down to who does less dumb stuff against the bottom of the division. So, you know, if you can manage the games, and, you know, it's not the easiest, but if you can manage the games against the likes of the Colts and the Titans, you're going to win the division. So that's why I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, I think the Texans will be more diligent in terms of how they approach certain games in the division, and that's where they kind of edge out the Jags. Even though I think overall the Jags are still probably the better team from a talent perspective, I don't think they execute well enough to win the division. Now, over in the AFC East, we have the Jets. And I say this because the Jets have the easiest schedule. The Jets aren't expected to win the AFC East, but they should. With what Miami and Buffalo are going to have to deal with during the season, I think there's a very real question as to if the Jets can't get it done now, will they ever get it done with Aaron Rodgers? And I, as truth be told, I think there are very real questions as to what Aaron Rodgers brings to the table in 2024. The arm talent is still there. The durability is another question. So realistically, the Jets have to figure out how to keep Aaron Rodgers upright with that offensive line and win the games that they need to win. I know people aren't picking the Jets to win the division, but given how soft their schedule is, they should be in the mix to win the division. Buffalo doesn't have the easiest schedule, and I still think they took a step back moving on from Diggs. And then from a Miami perspective, you know, I'm more of the opinion that Tua has kind of reached the level he's going to be at. They think they reward him with the contract extension, thinking that there's going to be more left. I have my doubts there, but we shall see about Tua. But, you know, in terms of everything else, to win this division, you're going to have to make sure you beat the Patriots, and you're going to have to at least be 500 against your other division rivals, because it's going to be it's going to be a tight race. I think it's truly going to be a tight race. As long as the Jets don't do something stupid, and, you know, I know that may be asking a lot, but realistically, they should be able to manage the season along. I think the Jets will be right there in the mix till the very end and have a chance to win the AFC East on their own. So that's the AFC in a nutshell. Obviously, you're still favoring Kansas City, but we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll do a quick run through the NFC side of the fence. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills. Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, for the NFC side, I think we have to be pretty clear. San Fran is far and away the best team in the NFC. I don't think it's that close. I know the Lions blew that game in the playoffs. Believe me, everyone knows how the Lions blew that game. But in the reality of the situation, I still think San Fran is the best team in the conference. And I don't think it's really that close with them bringing everyone back from last year. Outside of that, like, if we go into the NFC West, Seattle moves on from Pete Carroll a little bit, like a couple of years too late, but, you know, I don't really see much out of Seattle. And the Cardinals are another mystery club to figure out, like, what exactly their game plan is. So that just leaves the Rams. And, you know, truth be told, San Fran's just a better version of what the Rams want to do. Like, San Fran wants to run the ball just as much as the Rams do. They're just a little bit deeper and more talented on both sides of the ball. And with Aaron Donald retiring from the Rams, it's a little bit interesting to see how that team's going to shape up defensively. Obviously, they take a step back, but, you know, it's just a question of how much depth do they have to replace him relative to, you know, another year under the belt of Puka Nacua working with Stafford in the play action passing game, just to see, you know, what they can do, because Cooper Kupp's going to do his thing in the slot. So it's just, it'll be interesting to see what we get out of the Rams. But, you know, San Fran's just a class above those teams. So we'll see how it ultimately shakes out. But, you know, I think it's straightforward that it is the Niners in the West. In the South, based off of schedule, we have to give it to the Falcons. It's not as though this is a good division. I mean, you got the Saints, mediocre. The Falcons, I mean, you know, yes, it's Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins in a well maintained high octane offense that didn't have a quarterback, you give him those types of weapons and a decent defense, he should win 11 to 13 games this year. I think the Falcons smash in terms of wins, because you look at the rest of that division, the Panthers still very much a work in progress, and the Bucks, Baker is about as mid as you can get. So to me, this is just the Falcons should walk away with this division. And if not, then you have some real questions to ask yourself, what's going on with Kirk Cousins? Because, you know, he can't ask for an easier situation to walk into coming off of an Achilles tear. So to me, this is the most ideal situation he could have ever hoped for in terms of a team and a conference in general. Now to the NFC East. I'm actually going to give the edge to the Cowboys. And I know most people would scoff at that, but Philly has some real questions to deal with, because what does this Philadelphia Eagles team look like without Jason Kelce at center? The Philly shove, does it work anymore without Kelce blocking up front and getting low in terms of the scrum pot? There are some very real questions to be asked of the Eagles, and does Nick Sirianni have what it takes to manage that collection of people? It's like, I think there's a very real aspect to this that, you know, maybe he's not able to get it done. So, you know, I'm not necessarily banking on the Eagles winning this division. And I think with the desperation the Cowboys expect to have with Dak not being offered a contract, I think the Dallas Cowboys take advantage of the situation and ball out. Now, the Giants and Commanders are going to be miserable this year. The Commanders at least have some hope. The Giants, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, at what point do I consider the season over? Even though I don't expect them to make the playoffs, is just counting which game it will take that full realization to kick in that there really is no hope for this situation. So, but, you know, to me, this feels more like this is Dallas's division lose than anyone else winning the division. So we will move on to the NFC North. And, you know, I kind of look at this from the standpoint of you have the Lions and the Packers. The Packers usually find ways of winning those matchups versus the Lions. The Lions, numerous times last year, and this is a fault of Dan Campbell, just bad game state awareness where he will go for plays that don't make a ton of sense based off of gut. And then when there is an analytics case to be made for certain decisions, he won't consult that either. So you get a lot of haphazard looking decisions, and it ended up costing them in the NFC title game. Now, with that being said, I think the Lions have the deeper roster across the board for the teams in this division. It's just a matter of how much more improvement is there for Jordan Love and the offense. And, you know, that's the big question mark. If Jordan Love can enhance Jaden Reed even further so that you have essentially two number one wide receivers between Reed and Christian Watson, with Dobbs as the wide receiver three, but he's really a two. That is just a absolute bear of a matchup for any team. And I think in that division, that may be enough to win it outright, just because I expect the Lions to still make some of the critical thinking decisions in error from what we had seen last year. Usually when that starts happening, you don't really recover. So I'm curious to see what shenanigans start coming out of the Lions this year, because they are one of the more interesting teams to cover this upcoming season. But, you know, we shall see how it pans out. But, yeah, I know it sounds boring that I'm picking some of the more likely division winners, but the truth of the matter is that it's been laid out pretty clearly in terms of scheduling that the NFL is putting a priority on certain teams. So, you know, with that being said, we're going to get on out of here. Obviously, there will be some week one stuff coming up as well. So stick around for that. And yeah, have a good one, folks. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.